Now, there's a theatre production in London at the moment in which London is the main character before arriving here. Berlin, Nevada's production Still Night has travelled as far afield as Greece, Japan and Australia. And in each of those countries, a different city became the focus of the performance. So it was Athens, it was Yokohama, it was Brisbane, depending on where they were on stage. Well, Weekend's Jerry Sullivan joined one of Berlin, Nevada's founders, Silvio Mercuriale, and on stage at the Battersea Arts Centre, she was given a very different perspective of the City of London.
You should be moving towards sleep now. With half-closed eyes, your first yawn should signal a suite of pages to light the flames to guide you to the pavilion of the august slumber. But tonight, you seem unwilling to give in to weariness.
Tell me another city.
You insist.
What we decided to work on was Invisible Cities, which is this book written by Italo Calvino. There's all of these descriptions of loads of different cities, extravagant cities. The premise to describe all of the cities is a dialogue between Marco Polo, a young Venetian, and Kublai Khan, the emperor of this great empire of the East. And Marco Polo is describing to Kublai Khan his empire. Then slowly, slowly, Kublai Khan realizes that he's not at all talking about real cities.
What is the use of all your traveling if I can dream cities into existence?
And he's getting a little bit upset until he finds out that he's always describing Venice. And Marco Polo says to him, he cannot describe any other cities but the city he knows the most, and the only city he really knows is Venice.
That's us, London.
You want to make the city the main character. How do you go about doing that?
There's always the same lecturer who speaks exactly the same language, which is anyway a made-up language. The main point is, for us, the city we're in, it has got two sides. And these two sides, they vary and they become loads of different possibilities. And where we start from always is above and below. So these are the two sides of every city we go to. And then wherever we go, we collect pictures and films and recording. We speak to people and we kind of incorporate all of that material, re-edit all of the sound, re-edit all of the films, and redo the show for the city. Let's say that it's like having one of those drawings where kids have to just take the pencils and colour them in. The drawing is always the same, but then the colours differ.
Please put on your headphones.
And then, obviously, there is also a second half. There's another side to the show as well. Like the city has two sides, the show has two sides. And one of the sides of the show is when people wear radio headphones. You're wearing these headphones, you're completely in the dark. The characters that you had in front of you are not there anymore. You're not really listening to them because you're now discovering who you are within the piece.
What is it that you actually are trying to get the audience to tap into with the audio that you've made?
We are trying to recreate the gardens of the Palace of Xanadu, where Kublai Khan is sitting with his legs stretched out and in his silken slippers.
As sun sets on the terraces of Xanadu, the lotus trees shiver in the evening light.
And we use a sort of mixture of instructions directly to the audience members, which allow them to find themselves a little bit more in this garden. And then we also play with senses, so suddenly air being blown in their face and scent of jasmine as they're listening to crickets, a river in the distance.
What's been the reaction from audiences, and has it differed from country to country?
The show, it's really a homage to the city. It's a celebration of your city. Wherever you live, it's your city that we're looking at, and it can be special. Suddenly, you rediscover your city. And it's been quite emotional for some people. And, you know, we've had lovely responses of people that just came up afterwards thinking, saying, oh, I've always thought of my city as really not so interesting. I didn't know it could be so beautiful.
Take off your headphones.
No, we'll keep them on. We have to. Silvio Mercuriale was speaking to Weekend's Jerry Sullivan. London, the main character in that stage production, which is going on, as she was describing. Wilf, your perspective on London is interesting because you lived here for a few months, I think, when you first came to this country, but then moved away. Was that because it was not to your taste?
No, I moved out of London because of too many prying eyes at the Zimbabwe Embassy in London. There are a number of spooks there. Mm. I felt it was safer to be out of London. But it's, you know, a fantastic place to be. The nightlife, the theatre and so on, you know, is amazing.
So when people come here for the first time, perhaps friends of yours, perhaps you come here for the first time, what tends to strike them most about it?
I think the old buildings, you know, it's a very old city. You know, when you see a building, you know, built in 1020 or 1715 and so on. I mean, you know, these are buildings that, you know, it's imbued with history. You know, most buildings in Zimbabwe were built in the 80s, or, you know, the old ones were built after 1890. Those are the very old buildings. And everything here seems to be old. But I think for somebody coming here for the first time, particularly from Africa, it'll be, you know, it depends, you know, which season you come in. You know, you come in summer, it's fantastic. The sun rises, you know, just after 4 and, you know, sets after 10. I mean, it confuses your brain, you know, because for me, the sun rises at 6 and sunset at just after 6. And anything after 6, I mean, it confuses me. And then in winter, the sun doesn't rise until about 8. And by 4 o'clock, it's dark again, you know. And I feel like going to bed at 5. And of course, the snow, I mean, it's something that, I mean, I still wonder, you know, like a kid, you know, when there's snow, I hate the cold. I stand at my window in a warm house just looking at the snow outside. I love to see it.
Rachel, you're obviously more than familiar with London. Is it somewhere that you come back to and still see through a fresh pair of eyes, even though you're so familiar with the city?
I think when I come back to visit now, I appreciate all the good things about London that one kind of takes for granted while you're living there. I remember when we first moved back from Indonesia, so we've been 3.5 years in Indonesia, came back to London for a couple of years, that we were determined to make the most of what London had to offer. You know, there's so much live music and sport and theatre, galleries, wonderful parks and so on. And you start off with great intentions and think, yes, I'm going to go to a, you know, music gig every week. And then, of course, the day job kicks in and commuting, which is tough across London, I think. And it's a pretty expensive city to live in. So your enthusiasm and energy sort of drops off. So it's I've always thought a fantastic city to visit and a much harder city in which to live. But I'm sure I'm going to be criticised for that.
We heard there a piece where London was effectively taking centre stage. And it was based on the idea that, of course, other cities, when it was performed in those countries, took centre stage. So let me, with both of you, just a thought for a moment. Beijing as centre stage in a production. I mean, what would be Beijing's personality traits, Rachel?
Oh, loud, bustling, impatient to move on, lots going on. There's certainly plenty going on. There is a you know, cafes and bars and music bands that are springing up every day all over the place, just mushrooming. But also, I think the encroachment of the big glistening malls and tall tower blocks and the disappearance of the lovely older parts of Beijing and the Hutong. So it feels like a city that's in a hurry to move to its next phase. But, you know, it's big enough already.
And Harare's?
Harare is a bustling city with wide streets, old cars, you know, smoke belching from buses, potholes everywhere, but warm, dirty. I mean, there's some, you know, parts of Harare are very dirty, but you also have flowering trees, jacarandas in the avenues and in the suburbs, I mean, which are beautiful. I mean, in October, it's just, Harare is fantastic to look at.
Sounds as if that theatre production ought to be moving to both of those two cities that we've just had described. You're listening to Weekend from the BBC World Service.